part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. In today's episode, we're going to do another playoff reflection, looking back at the 2005 season for the Angels. But before getting into today's episode, this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So happy Tuesday. Welcome to the first day of the 2020 World Series and what has been a wacky year. So like I said, we're going to look back at the 2005 season for the Angels. But first and foremost, as a reminder, I'm away from social media right now. So if you want to contact me, you can email me at BrentJMaguire94@gmail.com. You can find my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to download, subscribe, rate, and review the Locked On Angels podcast on any of your favorite podcasting platforms. So let's get into today's episode. For those who didn't listen to Monday's episode and want to hear about the potential candidates for Angels general manager, I would highly recommend going back and giving that a listen. And if you'd rather read it, I also had a piece come out at Crashing the Pearly Gates on Monday, basically doing the same thing, looking at the 8 publicly listed candidates by major news outlets such as The Athletic or Major League Baseball. They basically came out with some of the candidates who might end up as Angels general manager. Before talking about the 2005 season for the Angels, I want to do a quick playoff preview, or I guess a World Series preview now between the Rays and the Dodgers. And I don't have too much to add right now. I basically touched on this on Monday's episode, but I just want to say that this is going to be one heck of a series. There is a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. Obviously, we've seen the Dodgers here before. Most people expected them to make a deep playoff run this year. A team that was already one of, if not the best teams in baseball, that added Mookie Betts, obviously was going to be playing deep into the season. And Tampa Bay Rays, man, they were, I don't want to say an underdog coming into the season. That doesn't do them justice. But I still think a lot of people expected the Yankees to make it farther than the Rays. But the Rays have shown that they are an incredibly smart, strong, sustainable organization that has just continued to churn out talent wherever they can find it. So this is going to be one heck of a series. We're seeing Tyler Glasnow and Clayton Kershaw take the mound for Game 1 on Tuesday, so definitely check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. But with that being said, let's take a look back at the 2005 season. I want to continue looking at these playoff reflections. As a reminder, I've done these for 1979, 1982, 1986, 2002, and most recently, 2004. So we are more than halfway through these playoff reflections, and this was a pretty fun year. 2005 was the first time in Angels franchise history that they were able to make the playoffs in back-to-back postseasons. I want to break this up into two different parts. The first part, I kind of want to just go over what happened that season, look at kind of at the raw numbers, what they did, what the end result was. And then in the remainder of the episode, I will bring in some audio courtesy of Major League Baseball on their YouTube channel. Take a look back at some of the best moments of this season. This season was pretty similar to 2004, just from the perspective of this was a position player group that wasn't very dominant. They were fine. They were about league average in a lot of different ways, but their pitching staff was incredibly good. So if you remember the 2005 season, that was Bartolo Colon's breakout year for the Angels in his second year after signing that big free agent contract. He finished with an ERA that was nearly 20% better than the league average pitcher in over 200 innings. He threw 222 and two-thirds innings that year. Takes home the second and latest Cy Young Award for the Angels organization. The only other one to do so was Dean Chance in 1964. And you can make a good case that he wasn't even the best pitcher on this staff. I mean, John Lackey was really, really good. His ERA was slightly better, had a higher wins above replacement. He had fewer wins in terms of win total. And that obviously was probably the reason why he did not win the award and was not viewed as being better than Bartolo that season. But even beyond those two, I mean, you had a guy like Paul Byrd who came in, was a newcomer, tossed 204 and a third innings with an above average ERA. Jared Washburn was really, really solid. His ERA was 25% better than the league average in 175 innings or so. And then you had rookie Irvin Santana, who was basically a fine number five starter. His ERA was below league average, but he threw a lot of innings. He gave, you know, that number five spot really, really solid production. And you look at the bullpen, just a very, very dominant unit. This was the first year without Troy Percival handling the ninth inning duties. You had Francisco Rodriguez move to the full-time closer position, was just dominant. 63 ERA minus, which basically means his ERA was 37% better than the league average pitcher that year. Just really, really good. And Scott Shields was nearly as good if you look at pure run prevention. And he threw more innings than Francisco Rodriguez did. And then you had other guys like Brendan Donnelly, Joel Peralta, Esteban Yan. I mean, these guys were a pretty solid three through like five guys behind your top two guys. This was a really, really good pitching staff. And in terms of wins above replacement, this was the best pitching staff in Angels history. They were third by ERA, second by field independent pitching. And like again, rotation was a top five unit in franchise history. Bullpen was second in franchise history. Just a dominant group all the way around. And it's not like the position players were bad. They were about middle of the pack in terms of wins above replacement, runs scored, weighted runs created plus. This was very similar to 2004 in that they really relied on small ball. They stole a ton of bases, 161, that led Major League Baseball. They also were second in caught stealing attempts that year, so obviously that's a problem. They were very, very aggressive, and it came at a cost, but this was still a really, really solid team in terms of their position players, and once again, they were led by Vladimir Guerrero, finished with 5.3 wins above replacement. His 148 weighted runs created plus was one of the best figures in all of baseball. But they also got some production from a newcomer. Orlando Cabrera was one of the best defensive players in baseball that season as a shortstop. Became one of the most valuable players for the Angels over the next few years. You had Adam Kennedy basically in his final quality season with the Angels, finished with 3.2 wins above replacement in about 130 games. Sean Figgins, who was basically their full-time super utility player, was worth 2.7 wins above replacement in almost a full season. He basically was playing all over the field. He played everywhere but, I believe, catcher, first base, and I want to say center field. So he was really just all over the place. As far as the postseason is concerned, I'll touch on this more when I look at the audio highlights, but if you remember, the Angels won in the ALDS against the New York Yankees, lost in the ALCS in really what was remembered as one of the most controversial postseasons in Angels history for the AJ Pierzynski drop third strike thing. So I'll touch on that a little bit more at the end, but the Angels ended up losing in the ALCS to the eventual World Series champion Chicago White Sox. Coming up here in a little bit, we'll bring in some audio of the best moments from the 2005 season, but first, let me tell you about Rock Auto. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com. right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck, right? Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, Box? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Before getting back into the remainder of the episode, I want to give a quick shout out to the Locked On Dodgers and Locked On Rays podcast. Make sure to go check these out, especially this week as the Rays and Dodgers face off in the 2020 World Series. All right, so like I've been doing for these playoff reflections, I want to bring in some audio from the best moments of that season. And there are a lot of fun moments from this postseason, mainly in the American League Division Series against the New York Yankees. So that's basically going to be the emphasis of this. But there are two moments from the regular season that I found to be really exciting. So first up on the list is Vladimir Guerrero's walk-off home run against the Marlins in June.
Last thing you want to do is heighten the senses of this guy. You throw it anywhere near the zone now, he's swinging.
High fly ball into left field. Did he get enough? He did. Angels win. Guerrero ties the game with a home run leading off the eighth. He wins it with a home run leading off the tenth.
So once again, that audio is courtesy of Major League Baseball, as is the following audio. Vladimir Guerrero was just so good and always seemed to come up at the pivotal moments whenever the Angels needed him to come up. Had a lot of walk-off home runs in his career with the Angels, and this was obviously a huge moment. Tied 1-1 in the 10th inning, gives the Angels the win. Next up on the list is really more of a reflection on Bartolo Colon's season as a whole, but specifically want to look at his 20th win of the season.
Gonzalez swings and misses and strikes out. K-Rod has his 39th save, and Bartolo Colon becomes the first 20-game winner since the great Nolan Ryan in 1974.
So Colon would go on to win one more game in 2005. He won 21 games, which is tied for the third most in franchise history. Only Clyde Wright and Nolan Ryan had more wins. Both of those came in the 1970s. And like I mentioned before, if I'm being totally honest with you, I don't think Colon deserved the Cy Young in 2005. It was pretty obvious that Johan Santana was better on a pure run prevention, strikeout total, walks, basically across the board. But this was a very different era. Wins were valued a little bit more in the year 2005. But like I said before, I'm not complaining, because anytime the Angels can win an award like that, you obviously take it. So that was a really, really big season from Bartolo Colon. But now we're going to move into the playoffs and look at the American League Division Series against the New York Yankees. First up, after losing Game 1 at home in Anaheim, the Angels got a huge hit in Game 2 from Orlando Cabrera.
Wong is ready. The pitch on Cabrera. He lines one in the gap in left center field. Devanage scores. Finley scores. And Cabrera bangs in two. The Angels lead for the first time in the division series. It's now 4-2. Oh, what a clutch hit right there. And he didn't waste any time on it. Orlando Cabrera, who had a huge ALCS against the Yankees last year when he was playing for the Red Sox, haunts them again tonight.
So this was one of the biggest moments of the season for Cabrera, who really was a star for the Angels that season. You look at his defense and his basically league average offense. This guy was really freaking good throughout the entire season, and this was a huge hit, arguably one of the most important hits of the entire series, and was able to help secure the win and tie the series against the Yankees. So the club was now tied 1-1, heading to New York, playing in the Bronx in the playoffs. That's obviously a crazy situation to go into, but the Angels did what they needed to do in Game 3, courtesy of two huge home runs from Garrett Anderson and Benji Molina.
This is where the Angels excelled during the season. They pick up those runners when they're at second or third or both. There's a runner at third right now and a runner at first. That ball is hit deep into right center field, way back there, and that ball is way out of here. A three-run homer for Garrett Anderson, and he has stunned the big crowd at Yankee Stadium. That was Ruthian to the right of the 385's sign and way up into the bleachers.
Well, what happened was they were trying to get him out with breaking balls. He threw the second breaking ball away, and now he tries to come inside with a fastball, but he gets it down. You do not want it down and in. See, it's supposed to be up. Look at it, down and in. Left-handers can handle that pitch.
Well, he kind of limps down the steps into the dugout.
Oh, man.
Benji Molina, left field, Matsui all the way back. Goodbye. A two-run homer for Benji Molina. He went upstairs and got another one. That's his third home run in this series, and the Angels have a 5-0 lead.
So both of these guys, Garrett Anderson and Benji Molina, really made the Angels go in this series. Benji Molina, who was having a career offensive season, his best season as a major leaguer, homered in the first three games of this series. And Garrett Anderson really just came up with a couple of huge home runs, one of them that I'll provide later for Game 5. But yeah, these two were rock solid in that series. So after winning Game 3 and taking the 2-1 series lead, they lost Game 4, tying the series, sending it back to Anaheim for a do-or-die game. And this was a game I covered a couple weeks ago. This was where Bartolo Colon, who I just mentioned as the Cy Young Award winner from that season, gets hurt after one inning. So a rookie named Irvin Santana comes in and really shuts the door for the Angels. But they had a huge home run from Garrett Anderson early on that helped get the club back in the game.
Here's the pitch. It's driven into deep right field by Anderson. Deep to right and gone. And Garrett Anderson makes the Angels and their fans feel good about things again. A home run cuts the lead in half. It's 2-1 Yankees.
Well, that's Garrett's second home run in this playoff series against the Yankees. He had hit three in his career against Mussina during the regular season. And maybe that layoff between half innings has affected Mussina. At least it did to the leadoff man.
Second home run of the series for Garrett Anderson. Mussina fell behind and then got one over the plate.
So as mentioned before, Anderson had two huge home runs in this series that arguably shifted the fate for the Angels. And Irvin Santana came in and just dominated. And this was one of the biggest moments of his entire Angels career. I mean, a rookie coming in for the Cy Young Award winner who gets hurt in a do-or-die game. I mean, that was just incredible. So the Angels are winning, going into the ninth inning, and Francisco Rodriguez shuts it down to send the Angels to their second ALCS in four seasons.
Two on, two out. As they try to get that final out. Here it comes, 0-2. Ground ball toward first, diving stop. Erstad, underhand to Frankie. They got him. The ball game is over. The series is over. And the Angels win it. 5-3 over the Yankees. The Angels are headed to Chicago.
So that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Angels. Special thanks to Major League Baseball once again for providing the audio for this episode. If you want to get a further look at the 2005 season, I will drop the link from Crashing the Pearly Gates, where I wrote about this season in a series at the website earlier this year, where I did a whole series looking back at the playoff teams. And I will also provide the link for my article about the Angels GM candidates that dropped on Monday. So I will put both of those in the description if you want to go check that out. But as a reminder, I'm away from social media right now, so if you want to contact me, best way to do so is at brentjmaguire94@gmail.com. But with that being said, that's going to do it for today's episode. I hope you enjoy Game 1 of the World Series on Tuesday night. We will be back on Wednesday to talk some Angels and some playoff baseball.